Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more information about Alive Church, please visit alivechurchoc.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in Alive Church OC.
On truth this since even since the beginning of this year. And I'm going to start with a scripture. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins, your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in all prayer." Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you that your presence is in this house. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here this morning. And Father, we open up our hearts to receive the word that you have for us. Father, I thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive and understand your truths. In Jesus' name, amen. So, why do we have, the scripture is about a soldier, a warrior. It's about spiritual warfare. Why do we have an army? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who hates us. I didn't put this picture up, but I should have. It was a soldier, and he was practicing, and the thing was this: you are hated, so train like that. Wow. I should have put that on. But I'm going to break down this scripture. It's a long scripture, and I'm going to break it down for you. So you're ready to hear the word of God?
Yes.
You're ready to receive truth from the word of God?
Yes.
Amen. So we've been taught, come to Jesus and everything will be all right. But they forgot to say that come to Jesus, and after you've come to the other side, everything will be all right. See, Daniel still had to go through the lion's den. They still had to get into the fiery furnace. David still had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when they came to the other side, they came with a new revelation of who God is in their lives. They came with a new revelation of truth in their life, but they still had to go through the difficulties. So tell your neighbor, you will have trials, but you will overcome. Amen. The purpose of our trials, according to 1 John 2, it says, "I'm writing to you young men." So I didn't put the whole scripture up, but that little scripture talks to fathers, young men, and children. So it talks about levels of maturity. It says, "I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one," that is Satan. "I write to you young men because you are strong, the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." So the reason we go through trials is to cause us to grow, to cause us to mature, for us to become strong, and for us to overcome the evil one. And how we overcome the evil one is when the truth of God is rooted and grounded in our lives. But people haven't been taught, number one, even to go through trials. Some people have been taught that if you are going through a trial, you've had sin in your life. So when they're going through the trials that are supposed to bring them into a greater level of strength, a greater level of maturity, their lives unfold. Their lives collapse. They are shaken. They are derailed because the word of truth has not been hidden in their hearts, and the word of truth has not taken root in their lives. I was praying for a live church and I saw a beautiful tree. And I have a picture of that. A beautiful tree. Long, big, strong things. And I knew that a live church would stand, not because it looks beautiful and it has beautiful shade, but because the roots have gone deep into the ground. That's why I love our pastors. They are in Singapore and Asia right now. So when you think of them, you should always have them before you pray for them. They are working hard. They did have time to rest and they had a conference. So pray for them for strengthening and refreshing. Amen. But I love that on this pulpit, they don't preach things that tickle our ears, that make us feel warm and fuzzy. They teach us and they challenge us to grow. They challenge us to cut and divide things, teaching us that when they are not around us during the week holding our hand, that when the enemy comes in, we are able to withstand with the truth. See, a tree does not grow in comfortable weather. If you cut a tree at the stump, and I have a picture. If you cut a tree at the stump, you'll see a whole bunch of rings. And every ring is for every year that it grows. So you can actually count how old that tree was when it was cut down. So you see there are rings that are close by. That was a year. And then there are rings that are more further apart. See, the rings that are together, it shows that it was a year where the weather was perfect. Great weather, great water, everything. Everything about the climate was perfect for that tree. But then you see the rings that are further apart, where the tree had to grow more that year because it was a difficult year. There was great rains, there were storms, there were winds. It might have been even a year of drought where the roots had to even go further down to get the water. So it was in those difficult years that the tree had to grow. And the same applies to us. See, God does not initiate trials. He uses the trials. He allows the trials for our benefit because it's in those trials that we come into maturity. When we go through hardships, it's not to destroy us, but it's to strengthen us. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Tell your neighbor, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer when you go through those difficult times. Why do we need to be of good cheer? It says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome Satan. What I have done on the cross, I have subdued him. I have overcome him. So when we fight, when the enemy comes against us, we don't come and fight out of our own strength and our own soul, right? It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whose might? The might of Jesus Christ. See, Paul was using the picture of Hercules, the Greek demigod. My daughter likes to study the mythology, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and they knew who Hercules was. They were well familiar with it. So what did the gods do? They poured their supernatural strength into Hercules so Hercules could have great feats, do great things. So imagine a vessel that is being poured in to the brim, overflowing with the supernatural strength of God in our lives. That's what God does. He says, don't fight out of your own strength. Be filled and empowered with my strength, with my power, and with might. You cannot fight the devil in the strength of your own soul because you will be pummeled. He will pummel you to the ground. You can't fight him out of your own wisdom and on your own strength. You need to have the wisdom of God. That's why, right, see, Ephesians 6 is the end of the scripture, the end of the book. But in the beginning of the book, he says, have the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge. You need to fight from the standpoint of Christ. You need to fight from the standpoint of overcoming. We don't fight for victory. We fight from the point of victory. That's why the scripture says in Deuteronomy, when you go to war against your enemies, the Hebrew says, when you go to war over your enemies, God will give them into your hand because you are winning. You are fighting from a standpoint of overcoming. That's where we get the word Nike from, Nikeo. That overcome is Nikeo, Nike. It means to prevail against, to be victorious, to be an overcomer. That is where you fight from. Be empowered with his might, his power, his strength. Paul says, take on the whole armor of God. That means the complete armor of God, because every part of the armor is strategic to render the enemy powerless in your life. Yes. Take hold, and he says, withstand the schemes of the enemy, the wiles of the enemy. See, wiles means schemes, methods, ways that the enemy comes against you. He's very strategic in his ways. He's sought in the garden even, but he's kind of gotten very smart over the years, over the decades, over the generations, right? He's not all knowing, but he does know your weaknesses. So the word to withstand, to stand against, he says, stand, withstand, stand against, comes from the word histemi, antihistamines. We take antihistamines when allergies attack our bodies. So that word to withstand comes from that when the enemy comes against you, God will stand up in your place. The word scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him for you. When the enemy comes in to attack him, God will raise up a standard of truth against him so that you can withstand, that you can stand firm. But the key to God right standing up for you is that you have to be in a place of total surrender. Lying down as dead. Now, that's not a posture of a soldier. But that is a posture of total surrender and total trust in your heavenly Father, that you know that you are not standing alone. He is standing with you. Paul said, stand therefore with your loins girded with truth. Let me say this before I go on. Every believer will experience that evil day. We think of evil days at the end before Jesus returns. But evil days are days of trials and tribulations and testings. Evil days is not when you've broken a fingernail. When you have to, you're late for work and there's traffic. When your washing machine decides to break down or your dryer, we experience that. That is not an evil day. That is discomfort. An evil day is when the enemy comes in, attacks you, and opposes you with the intention of pulling you away from God, pulling you out of alignment with God, and in the end, pulling you away from your purpose in God. Paul says, stand therefore with your loins girded with truth. The main scheme of the enemy is lies. The word says that he is the father of lies. That's his character and nature. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. Satan didn't overpower Adam and Eve with strength. He used deception to draw them away from God. He's the father of lies. He clothes himself in lies to deceive those who believe his lies. Every attack of Satan is an assault against the truth. That's why Paul, from the beginning, he said the first piece of armor that you need to put on is the belt of truth. And he used this because in the day in Roman warfare, the very first part of the armor they put on was the belt of truth. Because they used to wear long garments. And so when they went to war, they had to pull up these garments above their legs so they're not restricted in their running. And they tucked it into and under and tied the belt under so they're unrestricted. But the belt also upheld the breastplate and the shield of faith, right? And the sword was hung on little belt loops on the belt and put in a sleeve. It upheld every armor that he had to carry. And it's the same in the spirit. Paul was intentional about that because without the truth, the rest of the armor is ineffective. It upholds every armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. Truth is the foundation of God's word and character. The word says in Psalms 119, the word, thy word is true from the beginning. Exodus says about the character of God, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. See, the Hebrew word for truth is emet, and I have that there. It's more than just truth or factual correctness. It speaks of trustworthiness. It speaks of faithfulness, that it's reliable, that it's sure, that it's even eternal. See, the word emet, the first letter aleph, which is read from left to right, I mean right to left, we read left to right, Hebrew reads right, is the letter aleph. The middle letter, mem, is the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the taf is the last letter of the alphabet. So it embraces every part. And if you take one letter out, it will fall to the ground. See, that is the same as truth. If you take truth out, the basis of our life will fall. So the word of God, in the foundation of it, it upholds and it sustains everything pertaining to our life. It's where we get the word from faith, emunah. Yeah. We get that word from faith. We get the word amen. So where amen is not the end of your prayer, just let everybody know, yes, finally that long prayer is over. Amen. Yes, hallelujah, amen. It doesn't mean that. It means that when I say amen, I'm taking the first step in trusting my Heavenly Father because He is trustworthy and faithful. That's what Revelation says about Jesus. The amen, the faithful one and the true one. And I love to remind my daughter Amina because that's her name. It means trustworthy and faithful. God is trustworthy and faithful. No matter what you go through, He sustains you. His truth strengthens you. People are tossed to and fro because they do not have the truth of the Word of God in their lives. You cannot build your life on the opinion of people. You cannot build your life upon the culture. Because in culture, what is truth today is false tomorrow. We are seeing an absolute assault on truth in our generation, like we've never seen before. See, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word does not change. His truth does not change. It does not change to be politically correct. It was written over 3,000 years ago, yet it remains true today. It's relevant for every culture, and it's relevant and true for every generation. The Word of God remains the same. The truth of God sustains us. The truth of God causes us to stand up. The truth of God causes us to stand firm. The truth of God causes us to withstand. And the truth of God causes us to overcome. Amen. It is the truth of God that needs to be rooted and grounded in our lives. It's only with the truth that we can overcome Satan and his schemes. Satan, the liar, the deceiver, nature from the beginning has never changed. And one of the schemes of the devil is to bring deception into our lives, to intentionally entrap you and take you captive through deception. How does he do that? You start perceiving things through the eyes of your soul, your emotions, your feelings. Instead of perceiving things through the eyes of the Spirit, through the truth of God. The word says that the apple was pleasing to the eyes of their souls, what they wanted. When we see things through the eyes of the soul, it stirs up certain emotions that entrap us in our lusts. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust is not limited to a sexual action. Lust is whatever you lust for, recognition, power, protection, provision, belonging, wanting to be loved, what your soul craves for. That is lust. Lust is a condition of the heart that causes you to make wrong choices and wrong decisions. And you'll give into it no matter what. No matter what the price, you will give into it. And we've seen that. This is how Satan entraps you through the eyes of the soul. But the word of God says, Psalms 119, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The word of God says, write the law on the doorposts of your heart. Why the doorposts? Because when an earthquake comes, the doorpost is where you run to find safety. Because it's secure, it's steady, it's firm. So what part of the armor that God has given to us protects our heart? The breastplate of righteousness. And what undergirds that breastplate of righteousness? The truth of God. But Satan's smart, not all-knowing, not almighty, not omniscient. He is smart, and how he comes is through the element of surprise. He doesn't warn you, send you a text message, hey, I'm coming to attack you in 5 minutes. I'm coming to visit you in 5 minutes. No, get ready, be on your guard. No, he attacks us in surprise because it puts us in a place of disadvantage. He doesn't come and say, hey, I'm going to, that a panic attack that you're going to have in 5 minutes, be ready. He doesn't do that. See, Pastor Troy and I had just got engaged, and we came down to Orange County from Sacramento, and we came to visit friends, and then we were leaving to go back to Sacramento, and Pastor Troy says, hey, you want to drive? Why don't you drive? I think that was the last time he made me drive. No, it's not. But we were driving down the 5, and we got to around Glendale. And I'm driving. Everything's fine. No, you know. And I look into the rear view mirror, and I see hundreds of headlights and all the lanes behind me. I think the largest is how many lanes? I think I sent to Ari. 9, 10 in Texas, the biggest. Huh? 14. 14 lanes. And I have a panic attack. And I freeze. And I can't even say anything to Pastor Troy. And I can't even put my foot on the accelerator or to cause it. I'm slowing down, I think, in the one next to the fast lane. And I'm frozen. And I had to work myself to the edge of the side of the road and regroup. Because my heart froze and failed. It came out of nowhere. So I'm in high school, and we had just had a burglary the week before. And I came home early from school. My mom didn't know that I had come home early. We didn't have phones in that time. We could connect. And she comes in, and she opens the front door, and she hears something in the house. And she takes off running. Runs down the pathway, through the gate, up the road. And here I come running after her. Mom, mom, it's me, it's me. See, it's fright, flight, or fight. I frighted, my mom flighted. It wasn't a true place where we stood and withstood in the truth. It wasn't our finest moment. So Satan doesn't warn us, he rushes in. And the first emotions that we experience are ineffective to fight against him. So when you recognize that you are in an evil day, you need to move quickly to stand up. And you are able to do so through the Holy Spirit, who brings truth to you in that circumstance. And when he speaks that truth to you, he brings his peace to you. He brings his peace, and then he reminds you of the word of truth that you have hidden in your heart. And then you are able to respond, operate from a place of peace in the midst of the storm. You're able to come into a place of peace and respond exactly as you are supposed to. But what knocks us out is when we linger in those emotions. We get a warm, fuzzy blanket. We get a nice cup of hot chocolate. We sit on our nice, warm sofa, and we watch a whole bunch of Netflix. Because our soul wants comfort. But this is the wrong place to lie down. The longer you linger and indulge in these emotions, the longer you realize that you are under attack. But when you realize that you're under attack, the quicker you stand up and use the truth against him, the quicker you're able to overcome and stand. See, Peter says, gird up your loins of your mind. Tie up your mind with the truth of God. It says the loins. Some places say waist, but I like the word loins. Because what does it refer to? It refers to the reproductive organs of a man, right? It says the loins, your loins will be blessed. The fruit of your loins will be blessed, right? Meaning your children. But in the spiritual and also in your soul, there is no gender. Only in the natural, a man and a female, right? But in the spiritual realm, there is no gender. Satan doesn't say, oh, you're a woman, so you're exempt from my trials. I think with some women, Satan wants to even go harder. What you produce in your mind in the time of attack, you have to tie up. When you are under attack, you have to capture the emotions that rise up in your soul, and you have to bring them under and bind them with the truth of God and subdue those emotions. We don't do that out of our soul and out of our own wisdom and out of our own words and opinions. We do it with the truth of the word of God. This is exactly what Jesus did when he went into the wilderness. Satan came and he said, if you are the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouthpiece of God. Jesus wasn't quoting a new quote. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 when Moses addressed the Israelites and said, God gave you this manna so that you will learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that comes from the mouthpiece of God. So we come against the word, come against the attacks of Satan with the word of God. See, Satan preys on past hurts and unhealed wounds. He orchestrates situations to stir up emotions from a painful experience in the past. And if that goes unchecked, it will produce the emotions that you felt when that wound initially came in. And every time a similar circumstance comes, those emotions are triggered. Yes. You tracking me? Yes. Have you felt that before? Yes. You come into a situation and the same emotion that you felt a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, it's stirred up. You don't always know where it comes from. It can come from your early childhood. It can even come through circumstances when you were in your mother's womb. You don't know where they come from, but you constantly have those feelings of shame, feelings of rejection, feelings of anger that rise up, feelings of betrayal, feelings of fear, feelings of helplessness. And without realizing it, many people are walking, spending their entire lives captive, held captive by the emotions that was placed inside of them years ago. If you don't bind up and tie up what your mind produces with the word of God, that will hold you captive. So how do we break free from that cycle? You bring it to the cross. Amen. You bring it to the cross and you allow Holy Spirit to speak truth into your feelings. You bind up the emotions of your soul with the truth that Holy Spirit has come to speak to you. You don't allow those feelings to define your reality. You bring them under the authority of what the Word of God says. This is how you subdue the enemy. When the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, your spirit recognizes it. But your soul's in a whole nother story. There are many times your soul resists it because it has been shaped by those past experiences and by those emotions. And many times people hold on to those emotions because they are familiar. And so when you are familiar with things, you start to feel comfortable with those, even though they are there to destroy you and to do you harm. So you feel safe with them, but in fact, you are held captive by them. Not letting go of those emotions and all those lies of the enemy and putting it under the truth of the Word of God is like you holding an anchor that is dropping to the bottom of the ocean, and you refuse to let go, and you are being drowned by it. See, the enemy's counting on that for you not to let go of those lies, of the deceptions, of the pains of the past. When you have willingly, when your soul willingly comes under the rule of your spirit, that's when you have truly girded up your loins with the truth. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who will guide you in all truth. And it's the truth that will set you free. Let me say this. We have to yield and surrender to the truth that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, brings into our hearts. Like I said, God does not initiate the evil day. He does not initiate the trials, the temptations, the testings, but he uses them to expose what is harmful and dangerous in your life. He uses that to expose the deceptions that will derail you and pull you out from your relationship with him and out of the will of God for your life. You cannot afford to rebel against the divine standard of the truth of God in your life. Everything that you come into, that you encounter, has to be judged according to the standard of truth of God. That is what the helmet of salvation is. It's a place of authority where you judge. See, in Isaiah 59, see, Ephesians 6 and the armor is not the original time that this comes in. Paul is referring back to Isaiah 59, where God sees that Israel is in total chaos. There is total deception. There's no righteous judges. There's no truth. And God sees that there's no one to intercede. So he stands up, puts on the breastplate of righteousness, takes on the shield of faith, and puts on the garment of vengeance. Now, vengeance is not ours to do. God says, vengeance is mine. But he gives us the armor so we can withstand the truth, withstand the deceptions and the lies of the enemy. We have to apply that word in order to withstand. And the truth of God, there is the antihistamine to withstand against the lies and the schemes. But we've seen people who withstand the truth and do not stand against the lie. Who bow down to the lie. And they do not grow up and they do not mature. And so when things happen, they erupt in the flesh. See, one can be sitting under the anointing, under the truth of the word for years, but refuse to accept the truth because you have rebellion in your heart and you have not surrendered to the truth. You hold on to your rebellion, your lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You say, I'm going to get what I get and I don't care how. And I will not surrender to the truth of the word of God. They can be sitting in the church for years and it makes no difference. So you have children who have grown old sitting in the pews. We have seen a people who refuse to get healed from past hurts. We have seen people who have had trauma in their lives, had abuse in their lives, whether it was sexual, whether it was physical, whether it was emotional, whether it was spiritual trauma. But they refuse to let go of that lie that they have to protect themselves and therefore they cannot trust leadership, authority in their lives. That's not necessarily spiritual authority. It can be any type of authority. Cannot trust their pastors. Can't even trust their spouse because they refuse to let go of that lie. We see people who refuse to let go of unforgiveness in their life. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness, leads to resentment, leads to deception. These are issues in our lives that are harmful and dangerous to us. And God uses these trials to expose them and to bring us out of captivity and bring us into freedom. See, God will never give you more than what you can bear. You don't expect a 3-year-old to do things of an 18-year-old, right? But God will give you more to carry when you have a history of overcoming and a history of trusting Him. Evil days are not days when you take ground and you move forward. Evil days are where you stand and you stand firm in the truth of God, the antihistamine. You stand firm, you withstand. You rise up against the enemy, and the enemy cannot push back against the truth of God. See, the soul doesn't feel empowered. It doesn't feel like you're overcoming, prevailing, quite the opposite. But when that same issue happens, a different circumstance, but the same issue, you will respond differently because now you've learned to apply the truth of God, the standard of truth of God in your life and into that circumstance. And now you don't rise up the way you used to. You respond differently. The fruit that your loins are producing, the fruit of your mind, where you used to respond out of anger, out of greed, out of rage, out of fear. Now you start to respond and you start to produce the fruits of righteousness. You start to produce the fruits of joy in your life. You start to produce the fruits of peace in your life. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience. You respond differently. Your fruits that you are bearing are fruits of righteousness. Yes. The worship team, you can come up. See, Luke 22, 31, 32 says, Jesus was saying this to Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Satan has asked. He has to get permission from God. And when God sees that you're able to go through it, he gives Satan that permission so that you are not destroyed. He said, Satan asked to sift you as wheat, but I have said, okay, let me just go to rest and take my cup of coffee. No, he said, I have prayed for you. I have interceded for you that your faith may not fail, that you will not be shipwrecked, that you will not be derailed. He says, and when you turn back, when you have when you've gone through this trial, he said, you will strengthen your brothers. When you have overcome in your walk and gone through that trial and you have overcome, you are walking in a new level of authority. Why? Because that which tried to sift you and kill you and destroy you is now subdued under your feet, and you have authority over that because of the truth of the Word of God. Your territory is enlarged and you're getting ready for a greater testify. You have a greater level of strength. You have a greater level of freedom. You have a greater level of strength. And now you can strengthen those around you who are going through the same trials. You can now bring the truth that God has brought into your life into those around you. The Word of God says, we comfort others with the comfort we receive from God in our day of trouble. See the Word, everybody stand. The Word of God anchors us. The Word of God steadies us when circumstances change. It exposes deception. The truth of God keeps us from stumbling. It keeps us sure. It keeps us stable. That's why he said, stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth. Gird your waist with the truth of God, because it will sustain you, it will strengthen you, it will cause you to stand, withstand, stand firm in the truth of God. Trials are not meant to do you harm. It is meant to remove the harmful and dangerous things out of your life. Those things that will cause you to move away from the God, your relationship with God. Those things that are causing you to doubt. Those who are causing you to start believing the lies of deception and drawing you out of the alignment of God. That is what trials are for. God says, you will overcome this because I will fill you up with my strength. I will fill you up with my power. I will fill you up with my might. And you will overcome the enemy because of the truth that is in your heart. I want everybody to close your eyes. And I want you to open up. You know, all of this starts on the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And you can only come to the Father through me. So my first is, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, not only as your Savior, but as your Lord, maybe you have known him, maybe you have walked away because of the trials that you felt plummeted, and you've walked away from God because of issues of your heart. I want to ask you, I want you to pray this prayer with me.
Are there people in this room that have never known Jesus or want to rededicate their life to Jesus? Lift up your hands and pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I thank you that you love me.
Jesus, I thank you that you love me.
I thank you that you gave your life for me.
I thank you that you gave your life for me.
That you died on the cross for my sins.
That you died on the cross for my sin.
For my freedom.
For my freedom.
That I can come into relationship with my Heavenly Father.
That I can come into relationship with my Heavenly Father.
Jesus, I acknowledge that I have lived a life independent from you.
Jesus, I admit that I have lived a life of independent from you.
I have missed the mark.
I have missed the mark.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
And I ask you that you'll forgive me.
And I ask you that you'll forgive me.
I ask you that you come into my life.
I ask that you come into my life.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Purify me.
Purify me.
And Lord, I choose to make you my Lord.
To call you my Lord.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
In Jesus' name.